Hey there, ho there. You're listening to Super Tool Shed, the only podcast on the internet that's creeped out by Daryl Hammond's Colonel Sanders commercial. I'm Bennett the Sage, I'm joined by Mark the Engineer, and today we talk E3. Yes, the video game hype machine has rolled into Los Angeles, leaving a trail of frothing mad fanboys and underpaid models in its wake. It's up to us to do the cleanup and talk about where gaming is going. But first, the pleasantries. Mark, how have you been?
You know, I only just saw those KFC commercials, and I was like, wow, I guess Daryl Hammond's still working.
Yeah, I was creeped out immediately by it. I could see Daryl Hammond underneath the makeup and the wig, and he's basically just doing a George W. Bush impression, just toning it down a bit.
Well, I wouldn't call it that. I mean, the man definitely knows what he's doing. I mean, look, fucking KFC called him one of the greatest impressionists of our time, and considering that it's a dying art, I'd be inclined to agree with that. I don't find them to be creepy. It was just, like, the first time I saw it peripherally, and I went, oh, okay, so they got someone to play Colonel Sanders. And then I started watching Hulu very recently, because I haven't been watching it for the last couple of months, but still paying for it. And I saw it and I went, oh, Daryl Hammond's working. That's cool.
Maybe creepy is not the right word. Maybe unsettling.
Well, apparently 20% of people hate it.
I don't know. Like, I think in their minds, they're thinking that it's like, no, like, the man is dead. Leave him alone.
And yeah, but how is that any different from having an impression of any other dead public face or celebrity?
Well, there's not too many of them that do commercials.
Well, no, I guess not. But still, I mean, there's enough in terms of the SNL archive where it's like, let's bring this person back from the dead. You know, you don't need to be breathing to be topical.
No, I suppose not. But that was for, like, satire. It's always been for, you know, for a laugh.
Well, this is satire. It is for a laugh. It's not, I mean, they're not going to go fucking whole hog and be like, we got a demon witch doctor to raise Colonel Sanders from the grave.
No, but the first and foremost, it's supposed to be about hawking a product. I mean, satire and winking, knowing nods to the audience comes second. First and foremost, sell chicken.
Yeah, I had read an article about Daryl Hammond getting this role, and he was like, they paid me in chicken, which was good for me at the time because I was hungry. But they were talking about how, like, 20% of people that they polled hate it, but they said that that's a good thing because generally you can't market apathy. Like, you can't sell to indifference. So they want people to either love it or hate it, to be extremely polarized. And they were banging out the numbers. Because the same company that owns KFC owns Taco Bell and, like, one other company.
Yum Industries.
Like Yumco or something. And they were talking about how Taco Bell's revenue has tripled while KFC's revenue has gone down to, like, a third of what it used to be in its heyday. And I'm like, well, you know, legal marijuana.
You know, from Colorado to Washington, just turn KFC, just turn Colonel Sanders into a stoner. Why not? You want to be polarizing? Be polarizing.
Honestly, they're talking about how, like, I mean, Taco Bell, what Taco Bell sells barely constitutes the definition of food. It's like why it is that Kraft cheese singles can only be called Kraft cheese product.
You know what it is? It's because they introduced the Doritos Locos Taco. Ever since then, Taco Bell Industries just skyrocketed.
It really did. We got that Stallone Dread future, and it's coming. It's coming fast. Because you just mix the three things that stoners and gamers love the most.
Mountain Dew,
Doritos, and Taco Bell.
Lord knows, I like a burrito every now and then.
Oh my god, like, seriously, I'm just waiting for Taco Bell to make, like, Mountain Dew ketchup or something.
Oh god. Tomorrow's 4th of July, and I picked up some stuff because I'm going to a lunch, and I was in the aisle, I was checking out stuff, and I just had two 12-packs. I had a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper and a 12-pack Mountain Dew, but I didn't realize that I picked out the Baja Blast Mountain Dew.
Yeah, which is that weird fucking Ninja Turtle color.
Yeah, and it looks like Listerine. It kind of tastes like Listerine to me. And I had a moment where I realized, do I just like go through with it and just like, yeah, I meant to buy this, or do I risk embarrassment? It's like, no, I didn't want that. I want the other chemically.
It'll be the wine incident all over again.
Exactly. I didn't know like what I should bring, because you know it's 18, 20 people going, and everyone has their own different taste, and so I'm trying to please everybody. I got like a bag of chips for every single flavor. I got like sour cream and onion. I got like French onion. I got.
Oh, you're that guy. You're.
God, I didn't want anyone to go away not realize not having what they want. And I came out with like nearly 8 bags of chips.
Dude, most like 7 of those 8 bags will go unused. There's just like, and after this we'll get to how we're doing, but there is a general metric for this, which is the simplicity is always what should be applied. Coke, Pepsi, plain sour cream and onion, barbecue. That's it. And pretzels. And that's it.
For some reason, pretzels are like...
Never unsalted pretzels, because fuck people who are like, oh, there's sodium in my diet. Fuck you.
And not gluten-free pretzels either.
Those aren't pretzels.
It's rolled up matzo bread.
Fucking rocks is what it is. So, yeah, like, never... Like, you should never be the guy, because when I ran LAN parties out of my house, I would... Like, the first time I did it was the last time I did it in terms of being that guy. I was like, I'm gonna have everything. I'm gonna have Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, orange soda, and I swear to you that... I had 24 people here, all hardcore caffeine, you know, fizzy drink swigging motherfuckers. And I will tell you, I had soda left over for the next month and a half. I had chips left over for that same duration. Like, and that was when I figured out, it's like, you know what? You don't ask everybody what they take on their pizza. You just get the hits. That's it. You get plain pepperoni and sausage. And that's it.
And if you had to have one of those filthy vegetarians over,
they can have the plain. Seriously, like it is meat or no meat. Those are the options. It is simple. You know, plain pepperoni, sausage, and if there's a vegetarian there, they eat the plain. Most people eat the plain and the pepperoni and the sausage, but you get more plain than you get of anything else. And the same thing with chips. Like chips generally you can always get in the same metric. Like, okay, well I can get as much plain as I have of barbecue and sour cream and onion, but never get fucking ranch.
I don't know, like, I'm the guy who loves Cool Ranch.
Yeah, but you want to know what? Like for all the people who really like Cool Ranch, I am not one of these people. Whenever it is that you stock Cool Ranch at a party, it never seems to go anywhere. It just sits there, and I don't fucking eat ranch. So I'm just like, great, now I have these disgusting fucking Doritos in my house that I'll never eat, and my mom doesn't eat either, so I can't hawk them off on her.
So, you know, like, if you got them for the guy, just tell him to take it home with him.
And that's, I don't know, that's just an awkward situation for me. It's like, here, you take these, take them home, I got them for you.
No, don't put it like that, and saying like, you know what, these are left over, I'm not too into them, you seem to like them, so go ahead. Don't want them to go waste.
But the lesson here is always go simple and as plain as possible. Always get the hits. Plain pepperoni, sausage, Coke, Pepsi, plain chips, barbecue chips, sour cream and onion chips, that's it, and pretzels, and maybe Doritos, but original Doritos or spicy nacho, but not fucking ranch.
And not those Doritos jacked either. Holy crap, have you ever had these things?
Yeah, I, dude.
I mean, you admitted that like you were trying to, like you were in a confession booth. It's like, yeah,
it's, there was just something about, like, because you remember the fucking late 90s, early 2000s, or like the early aughts where everything was fucking flavor blasted.
Oh, fucking yeah.
Doritos were flavor blasted. Goldfish were flavor blasted. And all it really meant was that the amount of Doritos dust fingerprints that you were leaving all over yourself and your house and your family and your pets doubled.
But it was a good feeling, and when you're young, because all kids love to have their fingers just like caked in salt and MSG. But as you get older, it becomes like a mark of failure.
I will tell you, man. I don't buy junk food anymore. Like, especially since at the beginning of this year, I was dieting, and I'm still dieting. But you know, every once in a while, I say like, I'm in the market and I want some junk food. And I was in the market the other night, and at the 11th hour of checking out, I said, I want a bag of Doritos, and I got a bag of spicy nacho. Brought them home, started eating them, and as I felt the grit on my fingers, all I could feel was shame. I'm sitting there on my couch watching Seinfeld on Hulu, just caked, just like these Mickey Mouse gloves of fucking Doritos dust, and I'm like, I feel like a failure right now. I need to do something. You know?
Like I said, it's the mark of Cain that's been branded upon you. You are forever a Doritos eater. You're just one rung above the Funyuns eater.
Oh, God. Like, I don't know. There is something, like, if you don't feel shame in eating Doritos while sitting around watching TV, you should. Because it is a shame-inducing activity. You are literally doing nothing, consuming empty calories and corn. and caking your hands in nuclear orange dust masquerading as cheese. That is, you know, like, and if you've got a Mountain Dew on top of that, like, right, like, a, and I'm not talking about the 20 ounce, because responsible people get the 20 ounce. No, if you're in this position, you're sitting swigging directly from the 2 liter, no glass, kill yourself. Because you're not contributing anything to society. And you probably never will when you're fucking shotgunning from the whole bag of Doritos, whatever flavor, primarily for this imagery, I'd say the cheese flavor, because you can kind of like sneak around with the ranch because it's white. But but when you've got the nuclear orange dust all over and you've got Doritos fingerprints on your 2 liter of fucking sugar water that's also nuclear green. It's like, yeah, no, just kill yourself. You're done.
remember back in when Halo 3 was new, they had this new Mountain Dew flavor.
Game Fuel. I drank that shit constantly.
Much to your chagrin or much to your pride?
You know what? It tasted good. Because it wasn't quite Livewire and it wasn't quite Code Red. And it was better than both, in my opinion. And whenever they bring it back, immediately I buy a 12 pack of it. I'm like, yeah, you know, one more reunion tour, to make a Halo reference. But you know, like I don't know, like I drank it so much. Like anytime I get Mountain Dew that's not diet, I immediately feel shame because it's like this is just the worst that it gets. But when you compound that with fucking Mountain Dew, or when you compound that with Doritos, it's just like, that's it. You're done.
Done. I don't know. I think there is one level below that. Like, if you decide to get the Lutheran family picnic sized bag of Cheetos.
No, and Cheetos aren't as stigmatized for some reason.
Really? Not to you?
No. Like, I've always, like, you know, like, Cheetos are kind of like, Cheetos and cheese puffs in general are always, were never really a thing for me because, one, I never liked Cheetos as a kid, and I never liked cheese puffs as a kid. And I would always see those big barrels of cheese puffs, and, like, kids would always have cheese puffs at lunch and whatever, and I never really thought of them as being overly stigmatized. But then again, you kind of sit around and you wonder, like, who is it that still buys cheese puffs and puts them in their body as an adult?
I have never felt so much shame eating a snack food than when I eat Cheetos. I mean, Fritos is just like, it's basically salt. It's salt and corn. They don't even attempt to flavor it. It's just salt and corn. Just put it in your body. Just like,
yeah, but you want to know what? On top of chili, Fritos is very good.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's to chili's credit, not to the Fritos credit.
It companions well with chili. And if you put it on, if you like crush them up and you put them on a chili dog, that shit is awesome.
Like I said, granted, but you know, like, I can't have a bowl of chili everywhere I go.
They make a better condiment than a snack food. That would be it. Is that Fritos should only be used in the same ballpark as croutons.
And that's a big leap from snack food to condiment. It's like if you go to the supermarket store, you pick out one of those French onion fritters that you put on green bean casserole and just eat it right out of the tin.
Yeah, and I've never had those, and I've always like sat and looked at them like, why would they put a fried thing in a can?
It's because, well, for the same reason why you put fried things in a bag with pork rinds.
Well, yeah, but all fried things come in bags except for those Franco-American and the generic, like, fucking French fried onion bits where you're just like, huh, why? Why did they put the fried thing in a can? Like I seriously kind of want to go out and buy the can and, like, not to eat it, just to open it and see what it looks like and just be like, it's literally dry in here. They really did put a fried thing in a can.
Well, I don't know. Like, are Pringles are baked, right? If I remember.
Yeah, Pringles are a mashed potato that are then pressed into a chip shape.
And then baked.
I don't think they're baked.
They do feel kind of greasy.
Yeah.
So that's up in the air. But between that and like, picnic, like those picnic shoestring potato crisps.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fried. Those are definitely fried.
Yeah, like fucking Andy Capp's hot fries and shit.
Mm-hmm. And that I believe, is the true condiment. I mean, if you tried eating them, they're just flavorless.
I grew up in an urban school where they would, you know, like, we would eat those every day. Fucking Andy Capp's hot fries and fucking Tootsies.
Like, that's the difference between a West Coast and an East Coast childhood, right? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like, you don't know about Andy Capps or you don't know about Tootsies?
Both.
Well, Andy Capps is just a brand of, like, hard-fried French fry. So it's pretty much the same as Pringles, except they're, like, super hot and delicious and totally bad for you. And Tootsies were these, like, quarter Tootsie rolls that came in fruit flavors, and you could buy them for a penny. Jeez. Every day after school, I would go across the street to the candy store, because we literally had a candy store across the street from our school, and you could buy 100 of them for $1, and they were a massive fucking, like, the most anti-green thing ever, because you're just sitting there unwrapping these wax paper fucking quarter Tootsie Rolls, fruit flavored, and then just, like, making this huge, redonkulous mess of wax paper everywhere, but they were delicious and super fucking cheap. So multiple days a week, it would be 100 Tootsies, a bag of Andy Capp's hot fries, and 2 slices of dollar pizza from the local pizzeria. That's probably how it is that I got fat.
You think? It's like, no, I spent my entire childhood growing up on carrot sticks and celery, and I still got fat. What the fuck, man? It's like, eh. Yeah. That's the way that life dealt the cards, man, for you, at least.
So happy gluttony day, everybody. Well, it's sub-gluttony day, because really, Thanksgiving is gluttony day.
But that's a refined gluttony day, if you think about it. I mean, people really put their care into making the dishes that go into Thanksgiving meals. It takes time to bake a turkey. It takes time to make a casserole.
Yeah, but you're not about to fucking, like, indict yourself and be like, I don't take time when I barbecue.
No, but, like,
you fucking brine, and you baste, and you marinade.
But that's not all that's happened. Like, it takes time to make a turkey. What do we have on 4th of July? Burgers and hot dogs. You just take that shit from a frozen bag and plop it on the grill.
And ribs. Unless of course you're a type of person that makes your own burgers. You know, you for instance, like, when was the last time you had just a generic bullshit, you know, slaughterhouse floor hot dog?
Last time was probably Memorial Day weekend when I went over to my brother's, and I think I told you the story where I just decided, like, I didn't want a real kielbasa. I just wanted to have a nice, friendly, just hot dog. So I had a ballpark hot dog, and that was a mistake. It was a mistake. if I'm gonna get like a regular Slaughterhouse packaged eight to a package hot dog, I'm gonna get a Nathan's.
And that's, I think that's most people's answer, is that they would probably go Nathan's, and they would only go Nathan's, like, they, like, if not Nathan's, then strictly beef. You know, like, I don't want to know what the other two ingredients are, or what remnants of the other two ingredients are. But, you know, you compare that to how much you eat sausages. Where you eat, like, real sausages. So, like, and you would just as, you know, soon be inclined to grill that on the 4th of July. And sooner, even, because you're not a hot dog person.
Not usually.
You're a sausages and burger person.
Yeah, I'll grant you that, but grabbing like a real kielbasa made, and versus plopping it on the grill, getting a nice bun, little mustard if you're so inclined. I prefer plain because I like to taste the meat. Versus making a roast, and along the side dishes too, which all takes mixing ingredients and taking time and preparation. It's an like cooking the food is the event of Thanksgiving. Cooking the food on 4th of July is not the event of 4th of July.
How do you figure that?
I'm looking at this from, like, a purely stereotypical view.
I mean, yeah, sure, maybe. But, you know, like, I know plenty of guys who treat 4th of July and Memorial Day as, you know, as big occasions. Like, even in my house, growing up, you know, the 4th of July was fucking huge. You know, my grandparents, my grandmother would fucking marinate ribs all weekend leading up to it. She had an ice cream maker that she would only bust out on the 4th of July. Like, she would make ice cream from scratch.
That is, taking out the, our personal experiences with it aside, because I shared that same history. I made ribs, 2 days in advance for 4th of July, for Memorial Day. But I've spent way more time cooking Thanksgiving meals and having to plan for it in advance.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the Great American Holiday, the Great American Gluttony Holiday, like, there just seems to be this kind of, like, fight between the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. And I think that the only thing that pulls Thanksgiving ahead is the fact that there's more sides involved. Like, you can spend all the time in the world, you know, like, I need to prep a turkey and a roast and a ham. And then all the shit that surrounds it. Like, you fill up a banquet table, no matter what your income, no matter what your fucking money class in this country. Like, everybody just about finds a way to fill a banquet table with fucking sides on Thanksgiving versus the 4th of July, which is just fucking lean. It is super lean. It is hamburgers, hot dogs, sausages, fucking, like, ribs, corn, and chips. And
barbecue baked beans. And
yeah, I've never known anybody too big on the beans. Oh, and fucking, and kebabs and shit.
That's a little bit more exotic than I've seen in the traditional 4th of July barbecue. But I'll grant you that there's a wider spread of food. But I think when I think of gluttony, I think of, like, how much food is being consumed versus how much work went into actually do it and who prepared it.
Mm.
You know, when you look at a person who makes a really rich meal that's very decadent, but he spent a lot of time and effort and, real hard work to make it, you don't feel as bad for consuming it, because this is a part of someone's soul went into making this. He made it out of love, and that feels good when you consume it. When you eat something that someone spent a lot of time on, you can tell the difference. Versus when people, slap meat on a grill, even if they spent a lot of time marinating it, like, say, the ribs, you don't marinate burger patties, you don't marinate sausages, or you smoke them, but chances are they didn't home smoke them and they didn't hand stuff them. They bought them from a store, and you slap them on the grill, you put them in a bun, you have some prepackaged chips along with it. Where's that same kind of love? You know what I mean?
I do, but I just feel like there's a certain kind of bias based on your Thanksgiving. But then again, you take Q4 holidays so fucking seriously that I find it sickening.
Oh, come on.
I know that we've talked about this before, and I really do want to wrap this up and just get to how we've been and why it is that Toolshed has been whittled down to once a month, but The thing is that you take Q4 holidays so fucking seriously, it is maddening. It is a Doug Walker caliber amount of, like, dude, there is something wrong with you if you take this shit this seriously. There's other holidays in the, like, you don't even take your fucking birthday this seriously.
No, because I'm over 25 years old, and as the years wane, it's just another, you know, reminder that tick-tock, you know, your time on this earth is running out.
Which would make me think that you'd want to celebrate every you know, come together with the family holiday as is possible, especially now with fucking, you know, baby Declan. But
and I do. I take it all seriously. Like,
I just fear for this child, for your nephew, who is like,
listen, like, for this kid, kids thrive on positivity and positive reinforcement. He would want an uncle who is excited to see him at Christmas and is excited about Christmas because he's freaking two.
Well, yeah, but as he grows up, he's just going to have big, staunch Uncle Bennett where, like, there's fireworks on the 4th of July. There's fucking, like, concerts and explosions and loud music, and you're going to be sitting there like, this ain't bullshit, man. You just wait. You wait till Thanksgiving when we have a nice, sit-down, quiet dinner.
That I spend hours upon days preparing for you, you little shit.
And he's gonna be like, are there explosions on Thanksgiving? Only the explosion of flavor that is gonna be in your mouth.
And if I do my job right, an explosion in the toilet the day after.
Yeah, like that'll be your fucking justification to the poor kid. It's like, there will be explosions.
Oh, you'll get a mouthful of flavor, my friend. I'm gonna fuck your mouth with flavor. And I'll say it right in front of my brother, too, just so he can hear it, and I'll look him right in the eye as I say it. It's like, yeah. I'm that kind of uncle. I want that phrase tattooed somewhere on my body whenever I create something that I put a lot of effort into. It's like, I'm gonna fuck your mouth with flavor. And I hand you a slice of my pizza. Like, go ahead. Put it in your mouth. Say that I didn't fuck your mouth with flavor. Go ahead, try to say it. You can't. Why? Because you just had a mouth orgasm because I just fucked your mouth with flavor!
Oh, my God. Well, now I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
A tattoo appointment?
No, I'm going to get you an apron.
That says I'm going to fuck your mouth with flavor.
That's it. That is it. It'll be... and I'll make sure that it has the Ben the Sage logo on it somewhere.
It's just my hat and my silhouette with the, like, Laughing Man logo phrase of, I'm gonna fuck your mouth with flavor right and around it.
That's it. We gotta work that into the show somewhere. I mean, I would almost say it's worth breaking the rules of the cutoff date to review Toriko just so that we could have fucking Chef Bennett talking about, I'm gonna fuck your mouth with flavor.
Oh man. So how have you been, Mark?
Alright, so I originally said to myself, like, let's not talk about the car, but fuck it, let's talk about the car. So the new car, the Black Firebird Armitage, is doing fine. Wiring's been fine. I managed to work out most of the electrical issues, so that's good. T-tops leak, not badly, but enough for me to be concerned, and I just spent $1,000 on suspension parts. New shocks, new springs, new fucking sway bar bushings, just the lot. And I also bought new HIDs because halogen lights are just pathetic. So on Monday, I'm going to be renting out one of the local garages so that I can get that work done. And finally, you know, when I hit a fucking pothole, I won't shatter my goddamn back.
Yeah, that's never good news.
It's not fun. You know, you've been wrapped up in the comfort and safety of the toaster in a place where there are no potholes.
Up. That's not the name of the car. Ever since the title has been transferred into my property, it is my property, I have dubbed it another name.
Yes, let's have a round of applause for Bennett's first car that he's ever owned.
Yes.
And he didn't pay a cent for it, you fuck.
Hey, I'm paying X amount of money per year on gas and insurance, all right?
Yeah, which comes along with owning a car. That's not the thing. Like, see, like, people normally have to buy a car. They are not fucking second-handed a car by a family member.
Oh, come off it.
No, I'm not coming off it. You cannot complain about the expense of owning and operating a fucking car.
I am not complaining about it.
You just try to use it as a fucking justification. Like, well, I didn't pay for it, but I still am paying for it. It's like, yes, every person who owns a car has to pay to keep it on the road, has to pay to put fucking tires on it, gas in it, and repair it. That's normal. There is no such thing as a car that incurs no expense. But the one thing that you fucking dodged was the actual expense of buying the car. So, congratulations, you lucky fuck. You're in these fucking minority of people in this country who was just handed a car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and now I know where this is all coming from. It's from a pit of jealousy.
It is not a pit of jealousy. I'm merely saying that my first car, I spent money on it that I earned from my shitty job. And I had to pay another $3,000 just to make it road legal on top of that. You were just handed a perfectly working Honda.
Mm-hmm.
You could have, like, seriously, like, you were just handed a Honda.
Mm-hmm.
Driven by an old man on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Just like,
You know, towards the twilight of his driving life, it became my car more than his. I was the one who always drove it. I was the one who always put gas in the tank. So really, this title transfer was more of a formality than anything. Well, of an expensive formality, but a formality nonetheless.
So, but yes, congratulations on finally owning, legally, your first car. I am very happy for you. Meanwhile, in, you know, work for a living land...
Come on. Come off it, really.
Suspension's getting rebuilt after that brakes, because this car used to live in Jersey, so it's got some rust here and there. Like the main outlet line from the gas tank when I was changing the fuel filter snapped like a fucking cracker in my hand. And that was fun. So I still have to cut the exhaust off of Molly. And then take that down to Penn Muffler and Brake so that I can get it welded on. And they're actually very nice on pricing down there. So, yeah. Suspension, brakes, exhaust. And I also got a new amplifier. So, that's good. Because it's small and I can mount it directly on the speaker box. So, that makes me happy. And I got that for a really good price. Beyond that, you know, work has just been continuing for me in the background. You know, voiceover, stuff like that. And... I've actually been really happy with my voiceover trajectory this year.
Yeah, it's of course we can't really talk about it, but I can say that I am proud to have seen you receive the news and to come back to me and say like, yeah, it was a good experience.
Yeah, and you know, like I'm managing to increasingly dodge the cast as a black guy bullet. So that's making me more happy than not. Honestly. And also, I went to too many games this past weekend, which was fun. It was significantly better than it was last year. There were more vendors, more people filling the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center, which is not in Philadelphia. but it looked like last year it looked like a one-day con. This year it looked like a legitimate con. And it was such a fun time. And I got to see Lewis for like 30 seconds. and I got to hang out with multiple people from Team 4-Star who I've never been able to actually be in the same place as them because I don't really get invited to cons right now in this stage of my career, which is fine. This is not a call to action to bother your local con to invite the engineer. I would say more so invite Bennett. And then say, and then have Bennett say, I won't go unless I have the engineer.
Oh, come. Please don't paint me out as this guy who makes contractual demands from every convention that would have me. All right. I mean, I'm just happy that they're willing to pay the flight and my hotel to get me out there. I mean, I'd be lucky if they even give me a stipend for food.
Well, you know, you're always gonna get your per diem for food or whatever. Like, it's always gonna be like, look, here's your coke and whore money, because that's all it really bangs out to. Because they feed you anyway, and there's always food in the green room, so it's always coke and whore money.
Not always, depending on the convention that you went to.
Well, yeah. Like smaller conventions, they can't afford to do like the big staff dinners or anything like that. But you know, like usually even medium small size conventions, they'll have like pizza in the green room on a Saturday night, and they'll have like a party on Saturday night, and you know, the staff dinner on Sundays. So, or the dead dog party, which, you know, you're always invited to as a guest, usually. I don't know of a dead dog party where me as a guest would be like, no, you get out, we're done with your bullshit.
I can't imagine a time where I would make so much demands that they would just say, like, you're not really worth it. I don't really have that in me, you know?
I don't have that in me either. Like Anime Next is the home field for me, which Anime Next just passed. And once again, I had a fantastic fucking time. Love it there. And next year they're going to Atlantic City, which it's good because they've broken beyond their borders. Their attendance is just constantly going up, and they're leaving the Garden State Exhibition Center for a new convention center in Atlantic City, which puts them closer to me, which is cool.
And maybe they'll actually have me out there this time. Maybe.
Well, they're starting to get their own new media track. So, because I mean, there's local new media people that have been gone for years, but they've never been on the marquee, like the fucking Noaking and Megami. Like, they've never been a part of the marquee. But as time goes on, and as you know, the torch passes to new staff and the new GR people, they're really starting to work in a new media track, which is good. And this year, I put explicitly in my con bio that I am new media. So, like, even though I am an industry person, you know, in quotations, industry, I still identify as a new media guy. Because, you know, I'm still working on Anime Abandoned more often than I'm doing, you know, voiceover in, you know, X, Y, and Z project. So, as time goes on, the new media track will be, you know, like, it'll be bolstered, and then, you know, more new media people will show up on the marquee, and that'll be good. So, but in the meantime, you know, like, Anime Next is still a fucking fantastic time, and that's not news. Like, to me, it's that too many games, it's like, I'll definitely go back next year. I would be happy to go back next year.
Yeah, man, like, not to bag on the con, but what was your name for it last year?
I don't remember.
Not Enough Games.
Oh, yeah, Not Enough Games. Yeah, but it was really sparse, like, because the expo center is really just a set of warehouses that were converted into a convention space, like, I mean, like aircraft hangar type, and there was not enough stuff to fill the space, so you just kind of had a bunch of people standing around with nothing to do. And that was just because, you know, like, they did have tabletop, but that was in a separate building, and they, you know, like I don't know if it was just that not enough people knew about it, or what the case was. I mean, like, Noah's panels were pretty much standing room only, but, you know, he's fucking Noah, of course they are. And, but there were just, like, beyond the panels, there was just really a whole lot of nothing to do. So it was... It was nice to see that everything this year got bigger. I mean, it was genuinely and deeply impressive how they could just, like, exponentially get that much better inside of a year.
It's very heartening to hear. I, too, have gotten back from... Actually, not just gotten back. That was over a month ago. Back from Fanime. And I'm pretty late in announcing this, but... I did a Q&A there, and I did record it, and you could expect to see the Q&A on the 7th. It's coming up pretty soon, but if you're a patron of mine, then it's already in your PM box, and you can watch it right now. So, you know, if you want in on this early action, sign up for Patreon. You know, that not-so-subtle plug there, but I had a good time at Fanime, for the most part. I'm there with Gabe, and he did not have such a good time. he went as Mystique. And the thing about it, the thing about his costume for Mystique was that he had fitted the top of his costume for the fake gazangas, as it were, but he didn't actually measure the top with the measure the top appropriately, so he was busting out of his costume on the second day of the convention, and he was just miserable. He was having wardrobe malfunction after wardrobe malfunction, wearing these god-awful platform shoes that were ruining his feet, and he's about three blocks away from the hotel that we're staying at, so he's just basically holding himself together, wearing this blue Lycra suit underneath, you know, like, and over that is, like, his white Mystique clothing that's coming off at the seams. So he's basically doing that copper tone look of that dog pulling down that girl's panties, and she's trying to hold it back up. I fell for the guy. And that was in the middle of me doing the panel, too. So, like, periodically, if you look at the footage of me, I'm kind of checking my phone to see how he's doing. It's like, wish you no luck, buddy. Can't do nothing for you. it was absolutely miserable for him. Sunday was better for him because he managed to tailor the costume appropriately. it was a trip for him, and I'm glad he enjoyed himself.
I feel for any and all cosplayers, you know, male or female, like. Male especially, though, just because it's like, okay, so you want to stuff yourself into a cat suit not really made for your proportion. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, not to be so divisive on this, I mean, women cosplayers have it much, much easier. Because they typically are, because male character designs are always, like, don't show any skin.
Yeah, like, you know, like, take male's clothes, take them in, there, fits. But there's no letting out of a cat suit.
No, there isn't. There just isn't. It's a pitfall, no matter how you slice it.
There's just gonna be slack in all the wrong places. You know, more power to Gabe for. I mean, he could crossplay as any woman he wants, but he always seems to go for the ones in the cat suits, and I'm just like, dude, more power to you. God damn, man, like, even if I had the inclination, I wouldn't have the bravery to try and grease myself into these fucking costume gimp suits that he always manages to make and buy.
I don't know how he does it either, but he has a very lackadaisical attitude towards it.
And he always looks good. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, in between all the wardrobe malfunctions, he always looks good, and he's always getting hit on.
Which is weird, because, alright, the SCOTUS decision about gay marriage came out, and, of course, everyone is celebrating, and, of course, us living about an hour's drive away from San Francisco, they're going apeshit. So, Gabe just contacts me and says, I'm gonna go to the Pride rally in San Francisco on Sunday. You gonna come? And I wasn't, because you couldn't pay me to go down in San Francisco during Pride Week. Not because I don't support them, it's just I don't want to deal with the fucking traffic. You just couldn't. And so he goes down there, he dresses up in this Rainbow Lolita kind of outfit, and he comes back and he tells me about, like, getting hit on by both genders. And I'm asking him, like, wait a minute, are the women hitting on you because they think you're a woman, or do they think that you're a man in women's clothing? And he had to step back for a moment because he couldn't decide which was worse. Because if they thought it was a woman, then, you know, fooled you. But if it was a man, if they thought that it was because he was a, like, transvestite.
Like, both are bad situations, because in either situation, they would just be woefully disappointed.
I love going around with him cross-playing because it gives me an excuse to freak people out. Because, you know, like, he has, like, water balloons for his chesticles, and I would help him adjust it, and it looks like I'm feeling up a cosplayer, and so everyone's just like, what the? And then I was like, oh, no, it's fine. Ask her.
And then he would, like, he puts on a feminine voice when somebody, you know, like, approaches him. But we had an agreement, like, if somebody, like, tries to, like, make a big deal out of me just, like, you know, touching your water balloon, you would always use his regular voice. And the first time it happened, this woman just, like, literally did, like, a double take and just, like, backed off. Like, she just slipped on a banana peel. It's like, this is a lot of fun.
Yep.
I'm not a creepy cosplayer. I'm not a creepy cosplayer hitter on. I'm just a guy helping out his friend. How dare you? How dare you judge me?
Oh my god.
So that's basically has been our month.
And it's been fun. Things coming down the pipe, work still happening. And, you know, news as is available. We have been really busy, and we also haven't been talking a lot recently just because we've kind of been on different schedules, and that's part of the reason why it is that Toolshed kind of whittled down to once a month. And as always, you know, we will make an effort to do Toolshed more often as more things happen or as the feeling hits us, but the guarantee is always going to be at least one Toolshed a month. So we apologize for the ones who are just kind of sitting around waiting, like, where the fuck's Toolshed? I need this podcast for my workout, you know.
Or, like, to drown out the drudgery of my day-to-day life.
Yeah, fucking two jerk-offs just fucking trying to make each other laugh.
By hearing other people talk about the drudgery of their day-to-day life.
There you go.
You're living vicariously through us!
Oh.
And speaking of living vicariously, E3 has came and went. And this was going to be the subject of a Toolshed way earlier than right now, but... Again, work gone on the way, but it's still a subject worth talking about. Unlike other previous E3s that have came and went, this was one that I felt like compelled to keep track of because we're about to hit the adolescent years of this generation's console cycle. Like at the beginning, you have to pay attention because like everyone's announcing their console, and this is what's going to be expected. The year afterwards is always just going to be like, we're trying to keep that promise. And I'm like, okay, goddammit. And now we're at the point where either the promises were kept or the promises were broken. Now we're looking at, okay, what are you going to do now? And that's important. I feel that's important to keep track of. And so for the first time, I actually watched the Sony... the live Sony event. I didn't pay it. The Xbox event was too early for me. That was back when I was on a night schedule, so I missed that. Although from what I heard, it was pretty well in hand that they were going to, like, before Sony came up, everyone thought that Xbox had won E3 because they gave everyone what they wanted: backwards compatibility. Finally, a ninth generation console can play eighth generation games.
I didn't really care because it's not like I'm sitting on a bunch of 360 games that I'm like, oh my god, if I could only play those. Honestly, like I'm completely out of love with the idea of who wins E3 because, quite honestly, I don't fucking care. You know, just like don't try to be better than the other guy. Just try to be fucking better than you were last year. And this E3 was the first one in a long time that I actually gave a shit. Because I've been falling out of love with the entire fucking cycle because it's been nothing but fucking remakes, sequels, just bullshit that I don't care about. No exciting fucking IPs, more fucking gunmetal gray, gunmetal black, and shit brown, you know, spread all over the fucking landscape. Like, nobody can come up with a different colored texture. And this is especially, you know, problematic since I'm not a Nintendo person. So while everyone else is jumping up and down and fucking the tops of their heads are popping off with fucking splatter because of fucking Splatoon, I'm sitting here like, well, that's not really in my wheelhouse. So I don't really, I'm not the audience for that. but this E3 was the first one that in a long, long time that I actually gave a shit about. And everything that was on display looked really good. And it looked like people were fucking trying.
And I think we're arriving at a point where people can no longer ignore indie developers. I mean, give credit to at least some of the major publishers for realizing that they can have... they can have low investment opportunities for high-end payout. I mean, like, indie games don't require tens of millions of dollars to develop.
Especially if they get picked up by a primary publisher, because there's always that possibility that smack in the middle of development, you know, a publisher like Atlas or NIS or Capcom or anybody can just, like, look at the landscape and go, that's worth optioning. And they'll put down the money and be like, how much money do you need to complete? Versus, you know, like, and that's a low investment for them because it's like they got enough money to, you know, like, they cleared their starter goal and they've already been working. So it's like, well, we can assist in publication for, you know, this amount of money and for this cut in the back end. So you're right. Like, the industry is steadily no longer ignoring the independent scene, which is good. But still, like, it's not like a bunch of fucking indie games are blowing my socks off right now. Like, Combat Core looks fucking amazing, but that's just because I love Power Stone.
And although there is a dark side to this sentiment with the release of the Kickstarter of Shenmue 3, but then news starts trickling out that Shenmue 3 was already getting some financial support by Sony. However, Sony didn't divulge exactly how much monetary compensation they're putting up for Shenmue 3, and then news starts out that you had in mind for a true open world game was actually $10 million for its Kickstarter, but they only set it at $2 million, or is it $2 or $3 million? I think it's at $3.5 million right now. So everyone's wondering, what in the hell is going on? Or do you need this money or not? Or are you just trying to prove to Sony that there is enough fan interest to, you know, to be worth Sony's money? But on the other hand, like, considering what has been shown, obviously Sony had, like, some inkling towards the interest. Otherwise, why would they share space on their stage?
Well, Kickstarter is the best fucking focus test that you can fucking ask for. Because it's a focus test that not only pays for itself, assembles itself, but also generates money. You know, like, who's interested in Shenmue 3? Put your money down if you are. Bang, 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 bang. You know, and then it's like, oh, look, there's $3 million worth of interest in Shenmue 3. Well, that's $3 billion we don't have to put in. And, you know, like, and that's the same for any title or any, you know, independent creator, like fucking Inafune or, you know, the father of Metroidvania. Like, that's... It's the easiest fucking focus test in the world to fucking run that generates its own money and easily puts a title on the shelf. So, like, I'm for it. You know, it's because nobody's putting a gun to anybody's head to say support this with your money. But, you know, it really is the idea of, you know, like, the industry left to its own devices is only just going to keep cranking out sequels. So it's the audience now that has to really gamble their money in order to get new things on the shelf. And if that's all the audience complains about, is that there's nothing new, that the industry's not taking chances on new IPs because there's no guarantee that they'll sell, then, you know, it really is this, like, put your money where your mouth is situation, where people actually are putting their money where their mouth is. Like, nobody's saying, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Shenmue 3 happened, and then, you know, like, at the opportunity to help make that happen, they're just going, meh. Instead, they're like, no, yes, take my money. I want Shenmue 3 to happen. I wanted it to happen at the end of Shenmue 2. You know, so that's a good thing. And the way that the industry is reconfiguring itself to be more amicable to the indies and kind of help them carry the torch all the way to launch, I think that's good.
Yeah, it can only lead to good things as far as I'm concerned. And not to play like the fanboy here, I knew that I was appreciative of Sony for going down this road back when, during the PS4 announcement, where that was part of their E3 stage presence during that time, was that we're opening up a dev kit for all indie developers to use the marketplace and to sell their games, and we want to make it as easy as possible for the indie scene. Whereas it was the complete opposite with freaking Xbox. And now Xbox is kind of being dragged, kicking and screaming. It's like, no, 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 you got to play the indie ball. You got to play the indie game, all right? You can't play your game. You got to play the indie game.
Yeah, they can't. Microsoft's been really fidgety in the last few years. And they're banking everything on fucking Halo and Forza right now, it seems. Like, there just doesn't seem to be anything that's explicitly Microsoft that's like, this is what's, you know, worth owning an Xbox One for. And they're feeling that. They're feeling that hard because the number one thing that makes you gun-shy is lack of sales. Because all of a sudden you have this finite amount of budget. You have this finite amount of marketing money and development money. And you don't have all the security of, you know, the numbers, you know, like the numbers supporting risky ventures or, you know, like really cavalier ideas, because Microsoft's fucking losing it. You know, like, I don't like talking about winning and losing, but Microsoft is losing it fucking hardcore to the PlayStation 4, just in terms of how many homes the Xbox One is in versus how many homes the PlayStation 4 is in. Like, yeah, you've got your Halo audience, you've got me, you've got your Forza audience, you've got them. But, you know, like, what other audiences do you have? What other Xbox exclusives do you fucking have? Like, what, fucking Gears? Well, Gears is something that, you know, like, Judgment was good. It was really fucking good. But now they're having to test the market with, you know, Gears, with a Gears re-release, just to see whether or not people still give a shit.
And not to mention, like, you don't think that the Gears audience and the Halo audience don't overlap?
Yeah. So they're losing it in terms of, you know, lack of exclusives. They're losing it in terms of, you know, like homes with, because like the last time I checked, it was for every one Xbox One, there are three PlayStation 4s.
If looking at the latest sales figures, PlayStation 4 has toppled about 22.4 million units sold. And I don't believe Xbox One has even passed the 20 million.
Yeah, and they're tanking. They're tanking fucking hard with perfectly good hardware. But the problem has always been that the Xbox name doesn't have all the fucking thunder that the PlayStation name has. So while PlayStation was sucking ass through its third generation, fucking, you know, Xbox was able to kind of build itself up as a brand based on Project Gotham and Halo and all the little weird titles that they had, you know, between the Xbox and the Xbox 360. But now we're here, and what's fucking here? Just a bunch of shit that looks like everything else. And everybody's waiting for fucking Halo 5, and that's gonna sell fucking, like, that's gonna blow the doors off of multiple fucking stores on launch day. And, you know, the fact that 343 is doing so much with the Halo Bible is amazing. Like, if you haven't listened to Hunt the Truth, which stars Keegan-Michael Key and Kobe Smulders, I highly recommend it. It is a fantastic fucking radio drama set in the Halo universe leading up to Halo 5. But, you know, like, that's not enough. It's just not fucking enough. And meanwhile, you know, there's talk about, you know, Crash making a comeback. People are waiting for the next Uncharted. People are waiting for, like, people are, like, lying in wait for two handfuls of Sony exclusives. And I'm just sitting here like, well, Halo 5 is going to come out eventually. And then, you know, what else do I own an Xbox for? Oh, that's right. Nothing.
And all right, just to put a just to put a cap on the sales figures argument, according to April 2015, the last complete fiscal quarter, PlayStation 4 reported that 22.3 million units have been sold. Xbox One, 12.5 million. Wii U, 9.6. About... For every PlayStation 4 sold, there's about there's almost 2-to-1 for Xbox One. In fact, you could combine Xbox One and Wii U sales and have about as much as the PS4 sales.
Yeah, so Sony's back on top. Sony's fucking killing it. Like, this is Sony's new PlayStation. You know, like, not their PlayStation 2. Their new PlayStation. Like, they are back to fucking basics. And I respect that. For all the fucking shit I've slung about, I don't like the way that Sony does business. I don't like the fact that they're immature in their marketing. I don't like the fact that they've multiple times, you know, made attempts to kill competition systems just in the most childish ways fucking possible. It was a hard-fought battle, and they're back on fucking top. And, you know, more power to them, because I know that I'm waiting for more PlayStation games than I am waiting for fucking Xbox games.
And I will also say that looking at the list of games that was announced at this E3, even though a number of them were for often promised but never delivered titles like The Last Guardian. Oh, yeah. And that looks at least worthy enough for hype, because that is a game that cannot be played today. There is no like little boy and his monster kind of game where you use the monster to traverse levels.
Yeah, because we brought up in the top 20 giant robots list that one of the things that we've been missing in the last decade is the story framing of a boy and his blank. You know, a boy and his robot, a boy and his dog, a boy and his robot dog. We're missing these things.
And I'm glad that, you know, we're finally getting The Last Guardian, a boy and his giant monster.
Yeah.
And that looks good. I mean, I can't wait to see how that dynamic plays out in the level design.
You know what looks fucking good? Doom 4.
That came under media criticism because of the violence. And I'm thinking to myself, what did you expect Doom to be, if not violent?
Yeah, I don't really know where, like, yes, Sony's come full circle, but what has id come full circle? We're back to, you know, like, Doom is for devil worshippers. Well, fine, man. I don't care. Like this isn't Grandma's Doom anymore. We're back to fucking basics. Chainsaws on Mars. Doom guy is all fucking Doom comic book Doom guy, you know?
And that's, as long as they keep with that spirit, this is a game that I'm glad exists. And we had this discussion right when that announcement came up about Doom 3. And I'm of the opinion that Doom 3 was a huge, huge letdown. It is still a huge letdown. And you made the argument that Doom 3, while a letdown, was necessary because it showcased the Doom engine at the time, but it also gave the best Unreal game in the last decade.
Well, it was Quake.
Quake.
Like it reestablished Quake for me, and that was good. And, you know, like everything that Doom is, that Quake is, feeds into Unreal, because all Unreal has ever tried to do is create or recreate or keep alive the feeling of the Twitch shooter. So, and I mean, if you haven't played Quake Live is fucking fantastic. But the thing is that, you know, like we have to wait so long for fucking Doom releases because Carmack is just sitting there. And, you know, like, making engines is what Carmack fucking does. And I know that Bethesda is just sitting there going, like, you know Unreal 4 engine is a thing, right? Like, how much money gets spent on waiting for Carmack and his team to build id engine when we have Quake engine or we have fucking Unreal Engine 4 and it works just as well? You know, like anything could be done in Unreal 4. So, like, why are we waiting around? Like, you know that, like, the day that Carmack dies, his entire team is fired. Like Bethesda's just going to come down. Like, we mourn the loss of John Carmack, a pioneer and a visionary. The man who paved the road and painted the lines. But we've all got hover cars now. We're using Unreal, you're all fired. Doom 5, bitches. It'll be out next year.
On one hand, that's the one thing that's keeping Doom from being Call of Duty is the lack of releases. And the fact that Doom is a name that will forever be cemented in the gaming culture. Call of Duty doesn't really advertise itself as being gamer-centric. It has its audience, but its audience
isn't necessarily gamers because they don't play anything else, just like Madden people don't play anything else. But here's the thing, like I see this as a fork in the road. Like Carmack dies, you know, like Bethesda sitting on what would potentially be, you know, like, okay, well, we need another Doom 5 for an anniversary or what the fuck ever. And one of two things happens. Either they decide to keep the engine in-house, develop a new engine and call it Carmack Engine, or they just be like, nope, we've all got hover cars now. We don't need to develop our own goddamn engine. Bang, we're going to use Unreal 4.
Oh, God. But, of course, the biggest message, or, I'm sorry, announcement for E3 2015.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't.
We're getting a new Nier, guys! Finally! A new Nier! Oh, I've been waiting years for a sequel to Nier.
No, you haven't.
Actually, yeah, I have. I was interested in the game. I did like playing Nier. But it wasn't like, it was one of those one-off weird games where it's like, if this doesn't get a sequel, you know, no love lost or anything like that. But, you know, now that it's finally announced, then it's like, actually, I would be interested, and I would like to pick it up again. That, and it was announced in the weirdest fucking way possible, with that guy coming out with that, I forgot the character's name, he has a mask of that guy's head, and it's basically like this Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas kind of face.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, which lit the internet on fire for a minute. But yeah, Star Fox sequel looks stupid.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is like having the guy with a childlike imagination do your furry space opera, not the best idea.
It's...
You got Robotech in my fucking Star Fox, and I want it out. I do not need a transforming fucking R-Wing. An R-Wing needs two transformations, standard and all range mode. That's it.
I tweeted about it. I said, I believe verbatim, wow, it's not every day you see literally the stupidest thing you have ever seen. And people were on the defense about it. Not so much defending that choice, but defending like, come on, direct your anger towards the real culprit, that new Metroid game. And I'm thinking, I never cared about Metroid.
And I care about Metroid, and I saw a comment at one point on Kotaku that said, see, this is what happens when you wish for a new retro Metroid on the monkey's paw. And I went, you know what? You're right. Because I don't remember liking Metroid Prime Hunters. Do you? I don't remember anyone liking Metroid Prime Hunters. I remember liking Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3.
But that's, you know, gone out the window. And Reggie, to his laughable credit, tried to, like, say, hey, come on, trust us. You know, like, really, trust you. The guys who handed off Metroid to freaking Ninja, to the guys behind Ninja Gaiden.
To fucking Team Ninja, yeah. Like, I don't think so. You know, like, it's, you know, like, yes, I wanted a new Retro Studios Metroid game. I wanted Metroid Prime 4 or a new chapter in the Metroid universe. Maybe Metroid Dread. How about that? But no, because we wrote ourselves into a corner in Fusion, and unless they're going to retcon it, which they won't because they never retcon anything for some reason. Maybe it's because they're not very good at storytelling. then it means that get another completely useless fucking Metroid game bearing the name of the studio that I respect the most in the history of Metroid. So it's like, I did not ask for a sequel to Metroid Prime Hunters, and yet I'm getting one. So, because that would have been, you know, having Metroid Dread would have bought me a fucking Wii U instantly. I know that the rule of thumb has always been No More Heroes 3 and I'll buy a Wii U, but if they had said, you know, like Metroid Dread, it's happening. That's it. That's my money right there. I would have bought it on the day they announced it. I would have went out and bought a Wii U and just let it sit and collect dust in anticipation for Metroid Dread coming out. But no, they just can't do that for me. So I will just keep that money in my pocket and put it towards a PS4.
I knew I was in for a real sit when they introduced the lineup using Jim Henson's versions of the big three.
Fucking Muppets.
Yeah, yeah. I knew the moment. I could pinpoint the moment where, like, all the air in my face just deflated, and I realized, well, wow, Nintendo just really fucking screwed the pooch. It's when Puppet Reggie is just doing push-ups. He looks right at the camera and says, "My puppet body is ready."
See, how do you go from Seth Green and Robot Chicken to fucking Muppets? You have, like, accomplished real comedy writers to Muppets. I don't fucking know. Look, last year, I was like, I am genuinely impressed by Nintendo. This year, I think everybody's on my page. Nintendo is bullshit. Except for the super hardcore big end people who like fucking sift through Reggie's fucking leavings trying to find little nuggets of fucking quality. Honestly, like, Nintendo's bullshit this year, and everybody can see it. And it's like the first time in a long time that everybody can see it at the same time. So that, like, it's a sadness for me, because it's the year that announced a new Star Fox, and it's like, great, and the new Star Fox looks bullshit, and every vehicle flies, so what's the point? And when you have a hovering starfighter that can work in and out of atmosphere that seemingly generates almost no exhaust, I really don't understand why it is you need a fucking quad rotor, but fuck it. So, yeah, Nintendo was disappointing, and everyone's disappointed at the same time, and that works for me. But honestly, beyond that, and beyond seeing the Halo reveal and, you know, a couple of other things here and there, like, I wasn't really like, oh my god, there are so many things for me to buy a system for. But I am excited for the Horizon. So at least there's that. At least this year was genuinely exciting. Like, it induced excitement in me, as opposed to the usual, you know, like, let me just throw peanuts at this until it's over. Because that's been me for the last few years, man. Just like, I'm having more fun making fun of it than I am actually consuming, processing, and experiencing the news.
It's an E3 that was very polarizing to me. On one hand, the future looks so bright, I gotta need shades. But on the other hand, you're looking at where Nintendo is going, and you're looking at Xbox, where they're still digging in their heels, trying to resist everything possible to the current trends in games. And you're thinking, god damn it, what? It's because of you that it's because of this that we aren't where we should be.
Yeah, and I don't know how long Xbox can hold on as a brand being so out of the center. You know, like, they're not even in the circle right now. They're orbiting the circle, but they're not in the circle. And I'm wondering, how long can they last like that? And what's the next big turn of the key for Microsoft where, you know, people are really going to give a shit? Because, I mean, they really are just kind of throwing shit at the walls where, you know, like, Crackdown fucking failed. Halo persists. Forza persists. Project Gotham's gone. You know, and they don't have a shit ton of fucking exclusives like Sony does. You know, because, I mean, people are just absolutely fucking, you know, clamoring for Last of Us and fucking, and Infamous and Uncharted. And you just kind of wonder, like, what's next? Like, they need something, and they need it fast.
And I hate to say it, but buying the rights to Tomb Raider ain't gonna cut it.
No, because that audience converted over to Uncharted. Because we as an audience are not clamoring to see Lara's boobs bounce up and down anymore. You know, like, it's, the audience has gotten more sophisticated. You have to give them more credit than that.
You know, I talked about this during my last Tomb Raider review, where I was thoroughly unimpressed with the game. It was buggy as all hell. And it always seemed like the game kept finding new excuses to be crappy, whether it was the story, whether it was the freezing issues, whether it was just really the lackluster gameplay. It all came together to me as saying, like, wow, I mean, technically, this is the best Tomb Raider game in the last decade, easily, and that made me sad.
Yeah, like, best of the worst.
I mean, she's technically not the first lady of gaming, but she is the first. She is the first woman where you knew you were playing a woman of gaming. I mean, Nintendo tried to pull a fast one with Samus, and like, and you could still kind of fool yourself into thinking that, like, oh no, I'm playing a robot. Look, see, I'm in a robot suit. But like, when you're playing Tomb Raider, like, you know, that's all woman. Oh God, is she all woman?
Oh my God. So, yeah, I mean, gaming isn't dead yet, especially since, like, honestly, I would honestly say that it's the indies that are really revitalizing gaming, you know, just like people working so hard from years and years of consuming the gaming landscape and becoming the developers they always said that they wanted to be. And that's buying gaming a little bit of time as a legitimate artistic medium Meanwhile, you know, a new Call of Duty comes out every 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. And even that's losing steam. Yeah,
because they oversaturated it. I mean, only now is Guitar Hero and Rock Band coming back, and I'm like, I wouldn't go down this road. I mean, I know that you were a bigger rhythm gamer, but goddamn, man, like it's, I mean, like sure, there's been enough time where you know, like everybody's kind of walked away and been like, well, that was an interesting period in our gaming tenure, but I don't know, man. Like if those games sell, we're just gonna be right back to fucking square one very soon.
Well, from where I'm standing, I like where Rock Band is going. They're going back to what made the original games work and realizing it's about the experience of, you know, miming, playing an instrument. Whereas I think Guitar Hero is really kind of fucking it up because now it's not, you don't even get to customize the look of your band member. You're just like put into this almost like FMV sequence where you're just looking out over a stadium of people, and depending on how well you do, the crowd will react to it, apparently in real time. But I have yet to see this actually happen. I haven't seen a live technical demonstration of it. But I'm thinking, all right, maybe like if you were just trying to convince like an Oculus Rift kind of experience where it's like, oh, I'm really here, then that's one thing. But I can't imagine that this. I can't even imagine how well this would play off in a, like, I'm just sitting in my chair, just like, just enjoying playing a rhythm game on a television screen. I don't know. That just seems so detached from what they're trying to do. There's like there's a dissonance between what you're trying, what the game is trying to tell you you should experience and the actual reality of doing it. The inescapable reality.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I can't really think back fondly on playing Guitar Hero for so long anymore. When they announced the new Guitar Hero and Rock Band, I was just kind of like, here we go. You know, like it's easier to pick up than playing DDR, but it just doesn't feel like, it didn't make me feel excited. And that was because, you know, at one point we were just a glut, like, and I still worked retail at the time, and we were just a glut with fucking third-party peripherals, so many different shapes of fucking guitars, so many different versions of fucking Guitar Hero, like, here's Guitar Hero Aerosmith, and I'm just like, who cares? You know, like, we needed one game, like, maybe one game a year, when really, we didn't even need one game a year, because as soon as they introduced DLC, it was like, okay, well, then you have one game, and then you just perpetuate on microtransactions. And that should have been good enough. But for Guitar Hero, it most certainly fucking wasn't. And they just like kept pushing it until finally the bubble just broke.
And that's what Rock Band has over Guitar Hero. Like, Rock Band still has the library of 1,500 songs that you can download from the get-go, from this generation's Rock Band. So that right there is like, why not? It's like, and I'm very fuzzy on this, but if you had purchased this before, you can download them again, even though they haven't really set up the PS4 storefront for that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping against hope that, you know, my purchases from my PS3 era will coincide with the purchases of the PS4.
It's not going to be a purchase for me. It just simply isn't. And, you know, while you can really get into that stuff, for me, like, I had my time with Guitar Hero. For me, like, the best it ever was Guitar Hero 2.
I'll agree with you. I have way more fond memories with Guitar Hero 2 than pretty much with every single iteration that has come out so far.
Yeah, like, I had Guitar Hero 2 for the Xbox with the Exploder controller. It was fun. But after that, that's when I got off. That's, you know, when they need to add drums and singing and all this other shit, I'm just like, no, that's not for me. I don't need a whole fucking karaoke set in my goddamn house. You know, like, a guitar was easy to keep, you know, just put that on a shelf. But to have, like, the drums, like, most people didn't have a place to even keep the fucking drums. And a microphone on top of that, like, no, man, like, I don't want a party game. I want a game that I can just have the guitar. And that's it. and all of the achievements and the trophies are surrounded in the guitar. But an unwillingness to play the entirety of Rock Band or Guitar Hero with all of its fucking karaoke drum bullshit just means that it's two more games that have achievements which I will never get, because I will never, ever, ever play the drums or sing at my goddamn TV.
I nearly got all the trophies in Rock Band 2. Nearly did. But...
It just wasn't my fucking thing, man. Just like so many things these days just aren't my thing. And I can feel myself getting older as I say it. But that's okay, because aging is just a part of life, you know? Like, your tastes become refined. You become more rigid to the things that are presented to you. Your taste, you know, like, it really does change as you get older. And I can tell you that, you know, like, if you just handed me, you know, Guitar Hero, like, if they relaunched Guitar Hero and just called it Guitar Hero, and it was just a guitar and just guitar songs, I'd be good. But I don't need all this other fucking party game bullshit. I really don't. I am not into party games. So, and even then, like, I'd still be on the fence about it. Because, you know, if it's one more fucking guitar that's in my house. And if you, again, if you never tried to get rid of that shit, after the bubble burst, I will tell you that one of those guitars, like those guitars, GameStop just stopped taking them after a while. They just refused. They would just tell, like, well, I mean, we'll take it, but it's not worth anything. So you're pretty much just asking us to throw this in the trash for you.
Good thing my apartment has a dumpster.
Yeah.
But I think we have exhausted, much like the concept of E3 itself, the topic of E3. So it's time for you to do what you do best, Mark. Bring us on home.
Intro music by George Sakalis, outro music by Zero Reynolds. You can follow them both on Twitter by following the links below. You can now take Super Toolshed wherever you go. Just go to benthesage.com/supertoolshed. For Ben the Sage, I'm Mark the Engineer. Until next we beat, the shed is shut.